So you want to introduce a bunch of friends to role-playing and they've never role-played before. Or perhaps colleagues at the office go, hey, you do that role-playing thing, we want to do that too. How do you get them into the game, especially if, let's say, they're not the biggest fantasy nerds out there and you go, you shall not pass, when someone walks past your cubicle and they look at you as if you're completely mad, rather than saying, stand down, Gandalf, I'm a friend of foe, you know, whatever. How do we do it? This is how I do it. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of How to Be a Great GM. My name is Guy, and the advice that I have for you today is taking plebs, let's use the Roman word, plebeians, we'll take the plebeians. How do you take someone who's not a fantasy fanatic and get them to roleplay? Well, I was having a conversation with one of the creators of a role-playing system called the Contract RPG, and you can download that for free from their website. And the Contract is an urban fantasy kind of role-playing game. So that is modern day, set in the real world, set here on Earth, 2024 or whenever. Things are pretty much the same, bar one thing. Magic is real. So you've got vampires skulking around in the shadows. You've got werewolves howling from the fields. Pixies and sprites and fairies living in the sewer systems. And all kinds of wonderful things going on. Harry Potter is urban fantasy. It is a mixture of real world and fantasy world. Although they spend more time in the fantasy space than they do in the real world space, it is a real world urban fantasy kind of setting. We've got that. You've got Umbrella Academy. You've just got a whole range of shows. You could argue superheroes are urban fantasy. Their powers are mostly unexplainable, especially people like Doctor Strange, the Scarlet Witch, etc., etc., etc. But we don't see a lot of role-playing games around urban fantasy. Sure, D20 Modern, with its Urban Arcana upgrade. You've got The Contract, which has an urban fantasy. Call of Cthulhu, to a large degree, is there as well. But there is a certain reliance on the old gods. Take those away and suddenly it's urban fantasy. Torg Eternity is another example of urban fantasy. So there are role-playing systems out there. There definitely are. And I know I've missed a whole bunch. Drop them down in the comments below, folks. If you've got an urban fantasy that you really love playing, put them down there. It's really, really, really cool to learn and share from each other. Why am I harping on about urban fantasy? Well, of all of the genres of role-playing, urban fantasy is the most accessible for muggles, for the average Joe who doesn't watch all of the fantasy stuff, who is and has never heard of Critical Role or those kinds of shows. There are a whole bunch of reasons for this. So if you are trying to get people to play this game and you go in straight in with fantasy and you've got orcs and elves and dwarves, a lot of people don't have context for that. That's like you running in saying, oh, you're being attacked by a blobum. And then suddenly there's going to be, oh, look out, it's a giant splogglogglog. You're like, huh? Think about the last time you tried to play Star Trek in a role-playing game and someone said that a Denobulan was attacking you. You're not going to know that the thing's head's going to expand and it's got a super long tongue. Oh, and it's also mostly, you know, nice. So the idea is we're trying to contextualize that there is a role-playing system. The idea of playing this game where you are impersonating another being and you are running through these scenarios. When you abstract everything into fantasy or into science fiction, by the way, it becomes quite overwhelming. And so this is what we were talking about. We were saying, okay, cool. So we've got context. If I say you are walking down the street of Soho in London and you can see there are pride flags hanging across the street down that street, but as you turn left, Chinatown opens up in front of you. Or you're climbing the hills of San Francisco and Golden Gate Bridge suddenly presents itself. That gives the average player context because they've watched TV shows. They know what a hospital is. They know what a police person is. So the idea here is that with context, there's a certain freedom to just be creative, to just role play. We then have references. We've got so many easy, easy references. Not everybody knows what a vampire is. They know that they're those those vampire diary TV series things, and vampires suck blood, right? Is that it? Or are they the ones that turn at a full moon?
I don't know.
But there is a certain common knowledge that runs through most of the population, especially those that are wanting to try role-playing. So we have we've got context in terms of our setting. We've also got common knowledge in terms of our lore. And there's common culture too. So you know that if your character wakes up in the morning and their phone is ringing, they're going to know what a phone is. But if you say you wake up in a barn and there is a chiming in your head of magical tunes, they're not going to know that that's someone using the sending spell or an arcanogram, which is a magical device in my world, which basically acts like a hologram type of thing from Star Wars. Yes, I stole it and I'm using it and it's mine and my players love it. So we have this common reference point as well in terms of what stuff does and what they're capable of. Oh, I want to get to Russia. Okay, you're currently in Hawaii. Sure, I'm going to fly across the Pacific Ocean in an hour. You can't do that. Again, we've got all of that stuff. And there's no real room for argument or debate. It is something that we are all aware of. You then can start to incorporate elements of fantasy so that the players, as much as the player characters, are going, wait, what? Yes, the monk levitates off of the ground. Well, how? The player and the player character are reacting appropriately to the situation. They've got a real-world environment where aeroplanes require passports and take 8 hours or 9 hours to fly across the globe, etc., etc., etc. Now you're starting to add in the fantasy element, and slowly, incrementally, you can now start to add those powers to the player characters, to the players, so that they get used to the idea of telekinesis, and for them, they're learning just as much as their characters are. So it gives you this wonderful journey. And it's not overwhelming. I was sitting with my first cousin, who's a sprightly 89-year-old, and trying to explain what it is that I do for a living. And she went, I don't understand. I don't get, how do you pretend to be elves and dwarves? And what is a dwarf anyway? And when I then contextualized it and said, well, what if you were a spy on your way to Russia? What would you be doing while sitting in the aeroplane? And that suddenly allowed her to go, oh, well, I've been in aeroplanes before. I've flown to Russia. I'd be checking what the weather's like to make sure that it's not cold. Brilliant. We've already started to get engagement. It makes the role-playing the focus rather than the information dumping and the role-playing and the rules, because that's also a major thing. You want to look for some simple rules to just kind of ease everybody into it kind of stuff. Urban fantasy really is a very strong base, I would say, for getting people to play who've never played before and who are not interested really in the fantasy component. Now, there are some warnings. I have to say these warnings because urban fantasy comes with this. It's one of the few almost immutable laws of role-playing, and there's not many. If you are setting your game in real world, in real time, to today, this time period, and you place your characters in a city, you have to go and do the research on that city. You have to make sure that you know what you're talking about. If you've never been to Rio de Janeiro, there's that big statue on the island thing. I don't know how to get there. I don't know. Do you take a cable car? Do you take a ferry? Can you just go straight from the streets? What's the story? I don't know. I'm going to have to go and do some research on that. So you do have to make sure that the space that you are setting things in, you've done some research on. So there is a little bit of a requirement there from the GM to put in some effort beforehand. Difficult, I know. And you can wing it. You can say, look, guys, none of us have ever been to Russia. And I have no idea what the city of Skyova looks like. But I'm assuming it's gray, brutalist architecture on a gray river with brown, gray fields all around it. Anyone want to argue with me? Throw it out to the players. I was in a game where I was in London and the player hadn't been to London and they were putting landmarks all over the place going, oh, from St. Paul's, you can see this and you can see that. And you're like, Stonehenge from St. Paul's? It's a bit of a stretch. What sort of binoculars do I have? Hopefully ones that can see over a curve given the distance. Actually, that is exactly the point. You don't want your players to be pulled out of the game because you've thrown in something that just doesn't make any kind of sense. Okay, I'm going to stop talking about this subject because I feel like the point has been made. Urban fantasy is a great way to go about it. If you haven't played urban fantasy before, I will confess one of my big issues with urban fantasy is sustainability. It is difficult. There are lots of little things in there that you got to take into account. security footage. If you look at Harry Potter, you're like, I'm sorry, it's just that humans would know about it, right? It wouldn't be this mysterious. There's kids walking into a wall in a train station that's got more security cameras per inch than any other city in the world. That's the suspension of disbelief that you are going to have to figure out. So it could be that magic causes electrical interference on certain cameras, or it erases the memories of those. You know, you got to figure these things out. Or you've got to embrace it and say, well, yes, it is. And most of the population can't use it. So there are government agents designed to respond to this kind of thing and say, you are a magic user. That means we need to put you somewhere safe. If I follow what the current government in my country is doing at the moment, we would just send you to some rural African country and hope that you stay there. Anyway, that's enough from me. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts? Do you think I'm completely wrong? Do you think I'm on the wrong track altogether? Let me know in the comments down below. Until next time, I wish you, yours, and my amazing patrons the happiest of gaming.